Okay, so after our introductory series discussing Hashkafa, what it is, how it's developed over time, and how we as individuals are meant to be developing our own, we're going to jump right into the topics themselves and start asking, okay, well then what are the various legitimate traditional beliefs that are reflected in the sources in all of the various areas and subjects in our religion. So we can start developing that Hashkafa. We have to start going through the sources on, well, just about everything that we think and everything that we believe and every idea that we define as truthful. And to do that, I mentioned this before, but I broke up our belief systems, our kind of major beliefs, into six categories. Beliefs that pertain to the Torah, Bin Adam L'Makom, so those things that have to do with us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's, anything from Emunah and Yirat Shemayim to Tefillah and Avoda, Hashgacha Pratit, any topic that really falls into the category of our relationship with God, mitzvot as a function of serving God. Then we're going to go, then we have Ben Adam L'Chavero, we have Ben Adam L'Atzmo, which is just understanding, how Judaism sees the human being, this balance between the spiritual and the physical, how human beings develop, and the idea of schar, the different religious approach to the different aspects of the human condition, and emotions, and etc. So that is another topic. So we have Torah, Ben Adam L'Chaver, Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Atzmo. We have Am Yisrael, which is a major, major category that the Torah speaks about, that is perhaps out of all the major areas of Hashkafa in the Torah, Am Yisrael is the one spoken about, perhaps the least over the last 1,000 to 2,000 years. But it's an unbelievably large focus in the Torah itself, as we'll see from the Psukim, that every other Pasuk just seems to be talking about matters that pertain to us as a nation, as opposed to our individual religious responsibilities. And then we have the final category is in religious or spiritual leadership, anything from Nevi'im, Malachim, Kohanim, and Rabbanim, Talmidei Chachamim. Those are the categories. We're going to start with Torah, and it's going to take us quite some time, because there is really a lot to cover. The Torah is endless, and our study of Torah is endless, and even our philosophy on Torah seems to be endless. But we're going to start with Torah, start to make our way through. Eventually, we'll transition to those other areas, and we'll see what we want to do second. Okay. When you start learning about Torah, in terms of, our various positions and beliefs as it pertains to our Torah, you can really start in one of two places. You could start probably with the significance of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, since that mitzvah is called Keneged Kulam, and it just seems to be singled out repeatedly and regarded as the most significant mitzvah, and also the most significant endeavor, religious endeavor, that perhaps exists. That's one place to start. That's not where we're going to start. Because before we get into Talmud Torah, which I think is an expression really of the connection that we have with Torah and our ensuing obligation to learn it, I think we should just understand what the Torah is first. We should start to get some good working definitions for the Torah, what its content is, what the parameters of interpretation are, just to have a better conceptualization of what exactly we mean when we say Torah, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh. What are we talking about? Let's define our terms. Let's develop a deep, source-based understanding of what Torah is, and then we'll transition, using that understanding, to our relationship to the Torah, perhaps, starting with our halachic responsibilities and the mitzvah to learn Torah, and then get into the deeper hashkafic connection that we have to Torah, why it's davka given to Klal Yisrael, the different levels of connection to Torah, and then different sugyas in limud Torah, how to do it properly, And you know, kind of what are the parameters of limud, when to learn, when not to learn, is learning the only thing we have to do? So these are just some of the topics that we will cover in Yirtzeh Hashem. But I believe that we should start by just starting to define our terms and developing a better conceptualization of what Torah is before we talk about our responsibility to learn it. So in our first chelek, that's what we're going to be doing, talking about what Torah is, and we're going to look at it from three different vantage points. The first of which is just going to be defining the word Torah, and through defining that word, we're going to get a different, you know, different senses of what is, of what the yud of the Torah is. So what is its unique makeup? What is its unique characteristic? In that it would be called Torah and not chokhmah, not wisdom, not even godly wisdom, or tzivoy, melashon mitzvah, as a commandment. There's a very specific reason why it's called Torah and not knowledge and not commandments. As it could have been called God's knowledge, if that's how you see it. It could have been called God's commandments, if that's how you see it. And yet it's not. And the reason it's not has major implications and will be very revelatory for us in understanding the Torah. So that's going to be vantage point number one, is understanding what the word Torah can actually teach us about what it is that we're studying. The next vantage point we're going to look at is the tochen, the content, and what is the Torah actually comprised of? What is considered Torah? What is not considered Torah? Then finally, we're going to look at Torah as a concept, not just a content, these words and not those words, this halacha and not that halacha. Rather, what do we believe the Torah is on a conceptual level? You know, beyond the Torah being a book, what is it on, and what's the best way to say this? The Torah, you know, may also be a book that God wrote, or a tradition that God gave over, but that book and that tradition are reflecting of something significantly deeper that God wanted to transmit to his people that he simply did in the form of a book or the form of an oral tradition. But what God decided to give over and how that was depicted and how it was formulated has everything to do with this deeper conceptualization of what Torah is and why God wanted to give it to us. So again, we're going to look at the word, the content, and the concept of Torah. Let's start with the word, Torah. Maharal brings three different definitions for the word. The word Torah actually comes from the Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe to take the Sefer HaTorah that he wrote, the book of Torah that he wrote, and put it in the Aron. So God's own reference to this scroll that he instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to write down word for word was a Torah and nothing else. That is the source for the word, and the Maharal gives three different understandings, I would say complementary understandings, not mutually exclusive understandings, as to what this word indicates. And the first thing that he explains is that Torah is essentially an instruction. Lehorot, to instruct, that the Torah instructs us as what to do. And the reason it's called a Torah is because the name reflects that the broader purpose of the Torah, primarily speaking, is to instruct us in our actions and to tell us what to do and what not to do. And for that reason, it's called Torah, an instruction. That's what he says in the Gur Aryeh, in Bereishit, in the very first pasuk. But the Maharal in Drosha LaMitzvot writes something a little bit different. Not exactly different, but he just adds on there. He adds on to what he says and essentially says, okay, well, if Torah is Melashon Mitzvah, instruction, telling me what to do, then why not just call it Mitzvah? mean, I understand maybe that's the foundation, that's the yesod, that's the, you know, that's the foundation of this term. But the truth is, we have a term that would seem to be even more apt, which is mitzvah. So why not call this the Sefer HaMitzvah or Sefer HaMitzvot? And the Maharal says the reason why it's called Torah and not mitzvah is because the implication of the word mitzvah has connotations, not just connotations, but perhaps the actual intention of the word is a commandment in the way that a king would command his people, where the ikar and the focus and the goal of the mitzvah is for the commandment of the king to be executed by the people. The king does not care if you understand the mitzvah, or if you learn about the mitzvah, or if you love the mitzvah. The king wants you to do the mitzvah. So what being mitzuveh means is being instructed to complete an action where the primary goal, if not the exclusive goal, is the completion of that action. And there is no significance to the king. There's no significance to the king outside of that action being completed. However, this is fundamentally not true when it comes to Torah. And so the word Torah implies something a little bit beyond just being blindly instructed. In fact, we're supposed to be, the Torah is supposed to be an illumination of our commandments, where the Torah's goal is not just to teach us what we are obligated in so that we know how to and that we have to execute it, but the Torah also wishes to illuminate this instruction for us so that we can learn about the instruction, understand the instruction, delve into the depths of the instructions and why they are necessary. And because the Torah's goal is not just that you know what you have to do, but that you understand the depths of this instruction, the word mitzvah alone would not have done justice. And Torah, the implication, is an illumination of this instruction. The final definition that the Maharal brings can be found in a couple places. It can be found in Netivot Olam, Netiva Torah, Perek Aleph, where the Maharal explains that it's a little bit more than just an instruction, and even a little bit more than just an illumination of that instruction. But Torah actually comes milashon hora'ah, which is to guide, even to navigate. I think what that means is very significant, because the goal of, let's say, a legal system is to regulate behaviors. And it's how you create a functional society. You need to regulate people's behaviors so that they are not a harm to the people around them, and so that people can function together harmoniously. And that's the ultimate goal, is the regulation of the behavior. And as long as you do the things you absolutely need to do and don't do the things that you absolutely cannot do, so then you're in the clear. And now you get to decide how you want to live your life, what's important, where you're going, what your goals are, what your beliefs are, so long as they fit in the context of you can't do these things and you have to do those things. So a legal code is not guiding us as individuals to an ethical lifestyle. It's just preventing us from, let's say, behaving in an inappropriately unethical way, in a way that harms, let's say, the people around you. But you get to decide the life that you live and where you're going and, you know, what goals are worth aspiring towards and how you define growth and what's worth working towards. That's all in your hands. And the legal code is just your gvulot gizra. They're your parameters. Don't violate this. You absolutely must do this once you're functioning acceptably, properly in our society. You decide, what it is that your life is about. So they're not guidelines. They're just, the rules of the game, the rules of your life. Can't do this. You have to do this. Beyond that, once you're functioning properly in terms of our legal standards, you define for yourself everything else that you would like to do. Says the Maharal, the Torah is fundamentally different than that. Because what the Torah does is it's actually guiding you somewhere. The point is not just, well, you know what, don't hurt your friends too much. Or don't do this because it's just radically inappropriate. There is actually an end goal for the Torah. You are at stage A. The desire, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, is that you reach Z. You do not know how to do that on your own. This is a mission that has practical implications, spiritual implications. It's going to touch upon the religious domain and the domain of society and monetary regulations and getting from A to Z in this world is beyond you. Following the Torah is not just about remaining in your in the legitimate legal confines, but it's really about following the navigation system to get you to your end result. And explains the Maharal, the end result is Olam Haba. The end result is that you are fit and ready for Olam Haba. And it's not just a reward that God gives you for following the Torah. It's actually the spiritual result that keeping the Torah will have, or the spiritual result that keeping the Torah brings about through the impact keeping the Torah has on your neshama. And that is the lashon of Torah, of Hora'ah. Is the goal is essentially to guide you towards the ultimate completion of your spiritual development, and every aspect of Shmirat HaTorah is what's leading you there. Beyond just commandments in order to adhere to the king's will, you are following an instruction, a navigation system, one that guides your spiritual purpose towards its ultimate existence in Olam Haba.